قال يا موسى إني اصطفيتك على الناس برسالاتي وبكلامي. Allah said, O Musa, I have chosen you over the people with my messages and my words. So take what I have given you. فَخُذْ مَا آتَيْتُكَ وَكُمْ مِنَ الشَّاكِرِينَ. Take what I have given you and be among the grateful. Take the scripture, the book that Allah has given you, and be grateful for that scripture, for that book, for that guidance. And now take these words for yourself. Allah has also given us the book. So فَخُذْ مَا آتَيْتُكَ وَكُمْ مِنَ الشَّاكِرِينَ. Be grateful for the blessing of Qur'an. Don't be upset. Don't be impatient. Don't be resentful. And we wrote for him on the tablets something of all things, instruction and explanation for all things, saying, take them with determination. Musa alayhi salam was told, فَخُذْهَا بِقُوَّةٍ. Take them with determination and order your people to take the best of it. Meaning, follow it as it is. I will show you the home of the defiantly disobedient. Meaning those who don't adhere to the book, those who leave it, who don't follow it. Who are they? Defiantly disobedient. And you will be soon shown the result of such people. I will turn away from my signs those who are arrogant upon the earth without right. The arrogant are not gifted with guidance. Allah says, such people are turned away from my signs. Turned away from Allah's ayat. And if they should see every sign, they will not believe in it. And if they see the way of consciousness, they will not adopt it as a way. But if they see the way of error, they will adopt it as a way. That is because they have denied our signs and they were heedless of them. Arrogance prevents a person from accepting guidance. The truth is there, it is evident. Yet some people don't see it. Why? Because of the error that is in the heart. What is that error? It is pride. And when a person sees evil, he adopts it right away. Why? Because of the error, because of the fault that is in the heart. Those people who denied our signs and the meeting of the hereafter, حَبِطَتْ أَعْمَالُهُمْ. Their deeds have become worthless. Are they recompensed except for what they used to do? So what do we see? A person is only recompensed for what he has done in his life. Aisha radiallahu anha reported, she said, I said, O Messenger of Allah, the son of Dud'an, a person from among the righteous of the people before, meaning of their ancestors. Right? The son of Dud'an, he used to establish ties of relationship. He used to feed the poor. He used to do a lot of good deeds. But he used to commit shirk. Would that be of any avail to him? The Prophet ﷺ said, no, it will not avail him. Why? Because he never said, O my Lord, pardon my sins on the day of resurrection. So a person will only be recompensed for what he used to do. If he's punished, it's because he committed those sins. If he's rewarded, it's because he did those deeds. And if he did not perform those deeds, if he did not worship Allah, then will he be rewarded? No. Will he go to Jannah? No. And the people of Musa made after his departure from their ornaments a calf, an image having a lowing sound. They saw those idols and that love because it was not thrown away. What happened? When they got a chance, they made an idol. Did they not see that it could neither speak to them nor guide them to a way? They took it for worship and they were wrongdoers. And when regret overcame them and they saw that they had gone astray, they said, if our Lord does not have mercy upon us and forgive us, we will surely be among the losers. And when Musa returned to his people, angry and grieved, why was he angry? Because they had worshipped the calf. He was grieved. He was sad that how could my people do this? He said, how wretched is that by which you have replaced me after my departure? Were you impatient over the matter of your Lord? And he threw down the tablets. What was he told? Musa a.s. was told, hold them. خُذْهَا بِقُوَّةٍ. But in anger, what happened? He threw it down. And this anger, it was good anger. Because this was anger for the sake of Allah. This was not because of his own self. This was because of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So in anger, what happened? He forgot. He forgot what Allah told him. Human being. And he put the tablets down. And he seized his brother by the hair of his head, pulling him toward him. Harun said, O son of my mother, indeed the people oppressed me and were about to kill me. So let not the enemies rejoice over me and do not place me among the wrongdoing people. Meaning, I tried my best to do islah. I stopped them, but they did not listen. So now, you don't be angry with me, because if you're angry with me, the people will laugh at me. قَالَ رَبِّ اغْفِرْ لِي وَلِأَخِي. Musa alayhi salam said, O my Lord, forgive me and my brother, and admit us into your mercy, for you are the most merciful of those who show mercy. Getting angry over what is forbidden is a sign of iman. But Musa alayhi salam eventually got over that anger. When his brother gave him an explanation, he accepted it. What happens is, when we don't get over anger, it's because we were angry for ourselves. Our ego was hurt. Because if we were truly angry for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then as soon as a solution comes about, then what will happen? That anger will also go away. Now we see over here, Harun alayhi salam says, don't make the enemy laugh over me. Does it ever happen that you feel like people are laughing over you? Or maybe they're smirking because of your accent, or because of the way you're dressed, or because of what you order, the food that you order, or the sample that you're not taking, whatever it may be. Because of your choices, which are dictated by your religion. The Prophet ﷺ said, تَعَوَّذُوا بِاللَّهِ مِنْ جَهْدِ الْبَلَاءِ وَدَرَكِ الشَّقَاءِ وَسُوءِ الْقَضَاءِ وَشَمَاتَةِ الْأَعْدَاءِ. Take refuge with Allah from the difficulties of severe calamities, from having an evil end and a bad fate, and from the malicious joy of your enemies. Because you see, when people laugh at you, this can be very discouraging. It can shatter your confidence. Can it not? Very easily. You can change your mind. You give up so easily. Even a child does not like being laughed at. It shatters your confidence. So seek refuge with Allah, that, oh Allah, protect me from these situations when somebody will laugh at me because of my religion. And if they do laugh at me, give me the confidence to be strong at that time. Indeed, those people who took the calf for worship will obtain anger from their Lord and humiliation in the life of this world. And thus do we recompense the inventors of falsehood. But those who committed misdeeds and then repented after them and believed, indeed your Lord thereafter is forgiving and merciful. What do we see? Even the biggest of sins is forgiven. Why? Due to repentance. Due to repentance. And when the anger subsided in Musa, he took up the tablets. There is no pride over here. He put them down and now he's picking them up. After anger, generally what happens? Arrogance comes in. So we should try to get over that anger and not feel proud, so that we can go back to normal. He picked up the tablets, and in their inscription was guidance and mercy for those who were fearful of their Lord. And Musa chose from his people 70 men for our appointment. These 70 people were taken to seek forgiveness from Allah for having worshipped the calf. And these 70 people were basically representing their entire nation. So Musa alayhi salam took them with him to the mount. But what happened? The earthquake seized them. Why? Because they demanded that they should see Allah. These were the people who were going to apologize to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And what happened over there at the mountain? They said, we'll never believe until we see Allah. So what happened? An earthquake seized them. And they were fallen. They died. Musa alayhi salam said, O my Lord, if you had willed, you could have destroyed them before and me as well. Would you destroy us for what the foolish among us have done? This is not but your trial, in hiya illa fitnatuk, by which you send astray whom you will and guide whom you will. Anta waliyuna, you are our protector. Faghfir lana warhamna, so forgive us and have mercy upon us. Wa anta khayrul ghafirin, and you are the best of forgivers. When a person is in some difficulty, he's in a very sensitive situation. Remember that difficulties, they can either make us or break us. They can either make us stronger or they can ruin us, they can destroy us. And remember that life is not smooth for anybody. It's not a smooth ride at all. There are definitely going to be hardships. So when we are being tested, when we are in a state of hardship, we need to be extra, extra careful. Because one trial, it can bring a person the reward of worshipping many years, or it can waste the reward of worshipping Allah for many years. It can either elevate us or it can make us fall down. Why? What is it that makes a person so high after a test when he has succeeded? When he relied upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And what is it that makes a person fall so down because of that test. When? When he has failed that test. When he was angry with Allah. We see that Musa a.s. is not angry with Allah. He's still asking Allah for guidance, for forgiveness, for mercy. Generally what happens when we are going through some test, we allow ourselves to fall back. We say, you know what? I'm in a lot of pain. I have the right to be angry. I'm very fed up. I can't be bothered. I can't pray anymore. I don't find peace and comfort in prayer. I'm done. I've had it. I can't keep going on like this. We say what is inappropriate. This is something that destroys a person. That test became a fitna for him. That hardship became a source of destruction for him. Whereas it could have been the source of his success. So in the time of hardship, what is necessary? We seek refuge with Allah. Against even our soul. وَاكْتُبْ لَنَا فِي هَذِهِ الدُّنْيَا حَسَنَةً. And decree for us in this world that which is good. And also in the hereafter. Indeed, we have turned back to you. إِنَّا هُدْنَا إِلَيْكَ. O Allah, we turn to you. Allah said, my punishment, I afflict with it whomsoever I will. But my mercy encompasses all things. So I will decree it, especially for those who fear me and give zakat, and those who believe in our verses. So in order to receive Allah's mercy, what is necessary? What do we have to do? Iman, zakat, sadaqah, fearing Allah. Those who follow the messenger, the unlettered prophet. Who are those people who receive Allah's mercy? Those people who follow the messenger, the unlettered prophet, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, whom they find written in what they have of the Torah and the gospel. Who enjoins upon them what is right and forbids them what is wrong and makes lawful for them the good things and prohibits for them the evil and relieves them of their burden and the shackles which were upon them. The prophet came, this law was sent. Why? In order to make our lives easier. But what do? We leave the deen and we make our lives difficult. How? Through extravagance. Like for example, in our deen we are taught that simplicity is from iman. That we should keep things simple. It doesn't mean we don't have fun. But even in fun, we keep things simple. But when we leave that simplicity and we go towards extravagance, then what happens? Marriage, which is meant to bring joy, it becomes a time of great stress for people. Stress for the mother, stress for the father, stress for the bride and the groom. They're supposed to be happy and they are exhausted. Mentally, emotionally, they are exhausted. Tell me, which marriage is it, which wedding party is it that you've gone to and you haven't seen the family stressed out? Huh? They're stressed out from days before and days after. Why? Because we have left that simplicity and we have gone into extravagance. We have shackled ourselves. We are imprisoning ourselves. We are taught that the right way of worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and when we leave that and we follow innovations, then what do? Again, we are making our lives difficult. Nowhere in the Qur'an and Sunnah are we told that you have to say some dhikr 100,000 times. That you have to pray 100 nawafil in one go. The Prophet ﷺ, when he prayed Qiyamul Layl, how many rak'at would he pray? 8. This was his usual habit. 8 and then 2 and then 1 witr. This was his usual habit. But we impose hardship on ourselves. 100 rak'at. It's like nafil marathon. Or that we have to finish 30 Qur'ans. And then what happens? We're not talking to anybody. In fact, we're not even reciting. And people are just passing their finger over the lines and thinking that they are reading. This is burdening ourselves. Remember that the deen that the Prophet ﷺ brought, it is the most perfect. It is complete. All of it. So nothing needs to be taken out and nothing needs to be added to it. When we will take something out, when we will add to it, we are only going to make our life difficult. We are going to put ourselves in hardship. So those who have believed in Him, honored Him, supported Him, and followed the light which was sent down with Him, it is those who will be the successful. So those who follow the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, success is for them. Say, O Prophet, O mankind, indeed I am the Messenger of Allah to all of you. From Him to whom belongs the dominion of the heavens and the earth, there is no deity except Him. He gives life and causes death. So believe in Allah and His Messenger, the unlettered Prophet, who believes in Allah and His words, and follow Him that you may be guided. If he does so, if he believes in Allah, then why should we not? And among the people of Musa is a community which guides by truth and by it establishes justice. So those amongst them who were good, they are also praised, even if they are the exception. And this is the justice of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we divided them into 12 descendant tribes as distinct nations. And we inspired to Musa when his people implored him for water, strike with your staff the stone. And there gushed forth from it 12 springs. Every people knew its watering place. And we shaded them with clouds and sent down upon them manna and quails, saying, eat from the good things with which we have provided you. And they wronged us not, but they were only wronging themselves. And mention when it was said to them, dwell in this city and eat from it wherever you will, and say, relieve us of our burdens. وَقُولُوا حِطَّةٌ, and enter the gate, bowing humbly. We will then forgive you your sins. We will increase the doers of good in goodness and reward. سَنَزِيدُ الْمُحْسِنِينَ, we will increase those who do ihsan. But those who wronged among them changed the words to a statement other than that which had been said to them. So we sent upon them a punishment from the sky for the wrong that they were doing. And asked them about the town that was by the sea when they transgressed in the matter of the Sabbath. When their fish came to them openly on their Sabbath day, and the day they had no Sabbath, they did not come to them. Thus did we give them trial, because they were defiantly disobedient. This is also a test, that when haram is so easy, it's so easy to do, just right there for us, all we have to do is just go and throw the net, just go and sign a contract, just go and say yes. It's so easy, it's made available, but it's a test. And when a community among them said, why do you advise or warn a people whom Allah is about to destroy or to punish with a severe punishment? Meaning those who stopped them, others said, why do you bother? Don't stop them, leave them. The advisors said, why do we do that? In order to be absolved before your Lord. And perhaps they may fear Him. We are telling them, we are reminding them, we're telling them to stop doing this. Why? So that we have an excuse before Allah. We are not guilty. And secondly, perhaps they will fear Allah. And when they forgot that by which they had been reminded, we saved those who had forbidden evil and seized those who wronged with a wretched punishment because they were defiantly disobedient. So when they were insolent about that which they had been forbidden, we said to them, be apes despised. When the limits of Allah are crossed, then the punishment is also extreme. When a person goes to an extreme, then the punishment is also extreme. They changed the law. They played with the law. They altered its appearance. So Allah also altered their appearance. Allah also changed their form. Ultimately, those who succeeded were only those who stopped this evil. Because you see, this community who transgressed concerning the matter of the Sabbath, they were divided into three groups. One group was of those who transgressed the matter of the Sabbath. They were told not to fish on Saturday, but they still put their nets in on Friday and they took them out on Sunday. They were cheating over here. Another group was of those people who stopped them, who said, this is wrong, you should not do this. And the third group was of those people who said, why bother? Just live your own life. So what happened? Who was saved ultimately? Those who stopped from evil. Because remember, if we don't stop the wrong that is going on around us, before our eyes, then we are equally responsible. We have to show our disapproval. We have to stop it. If we cannot stop it, at least show disapproval. If we cannot even show disapproval, then at least feel that it is wrong in the heart. We should not be okay with it, ever. Because when somebody is doing something wrong, then remember, if we don't stop it, then we are part of it. And when we are part of it, then we will also suffer the consequences. And mention when your Lord declared that He would surely continue to send upon them until the day of resurrection those who would afflict them with the worst torment. Why? Because of their wrongdoing. Because indeed your Lord is swift in penalty, but indeed He is forgiving and merciful also. And we divided them throughout the earth into nations. Of them some were righteous, and of them some were otherwise. And we tested them with good times and bad, that perhaps they would return to obedience. So what do we see? Each group is tested, each person, each nation, through good and bad. And those who believed in the prophets, and also those who rejected, they were tested. Because this life is not for rest. What is it for? It is for test. We were created for Allah's worship. And in order to worship Allah, in order to show that we are truly Allah's worshippers, then we have to continue to worship Allah, even in good times and in bad times. وَبَلَوْنَاهُمْ بِالْحَسَنَاتِ وَالسَّيِّئَاتِ لَعَلَّهُمْ يَرْجِعُونَ But what happens? We keep waiting for good times. We keep waiting for ease. When things are good, then I will pray. When things are good, then I will read Quran. But what do we see? That we are worshippers of Allah. How? When? In all circumstances. In all situations of life. Sometimes we are told, you're too young. Sometimes we're told, you're a young mother. And sometimes we're told, you have young children. And sometimes we're told, oh, now you're too old. Take it easy. Well, the thing is, that it's never going to be perfect. وَبَلَوْنَاهُمْ بِالْحَسَنَاتِ وَالسَّيِّئَاتِ It's always either good or bad. And in both of these times, we have to remain obedient to Allah. And there followed them successors who inherited the scripture while taking the commodities of this lower life. Meaning they sought dunya, they sought worldly benefits through what? Through religion. Now what do we see? That when a person has been given the knowledge of the deen, when a person has been granted awareness of the religion, then whatever he does, he must do it with sincerity. Because people are being criticized over here for seeking the commodities of this lower life in exchange for what? In exchange for adhering to the scripture. So our intention first of all must be sincere whenever we're doing anything for the sake of Allah. The Prophet ﷺ said, learn the Qur'an. Learn the Qur'an. And by it, ask Allah for Jannah. Meaning when you're learning the Qur'an, what should be your goal? To seek Jannah. Before some others will come who will learn the Qur'an, but they will demand worldly benefits through it. They will learn the Qur'an, but what will they do? They will seek the dunya through it. For indeed, there are three types of people who learn the Qur'an. A man who shows off by it. Meaning he learns the Qur'an so that he can have a performance. Then secondly, a man who eats through it. Meaning he uses it as a means of making money. And thirdly, a man who reads it for Allah. So there are three types of people who learn the Qur'an. We need to think, who am I? Am I learning this book just so that I can impress other people? That yes, I have studied the Qur'an cover to cover. Yeah, I read the Qur'an. Or is it so that we can put something on our resume maybe? Or maybe the sole intention is to make money through this? Or is it really for the sake of Allah? If it's for the sake of Allah, then yes, we are safe. If it's not for the sake of Allah, for His pleasure, then we are in danger. So these people, what did they do? They inherited the scripture, but they made commodities of this lower life through it. And they would say, it will be forgiven for us. Meaning, doesn't matter. Doesn't matter, we'll be forgiven. Because we are the best people. And if an offer like it comes to them, they will again take it. Meaning, if a better offer comes, they will take it. They say, oh, Allah will forgive us. But then they go back to their sins. And this also shows that they will leave the book for greater benefit. Because they're just using the book to make money. To gain praise, to gain fame. So if there is a better option of gaining fame, of making more money, then they will leave the book. And they will go to that. Was not the covenant of the scripture taken from them? That they would not say about Allah except the truth? And they studied what was in it. And the home of the hereafter is better for those who fear Allah. So will you not use reason? But those who hold fast to the book. وَالَّذِينَ يُمَسِّكُونَ بِالْكِتَابِ Those who hold fast to the book, whether things are easy or tough, whether they're busy or they're free, they don't leave the book of Allah. Why? Because it's a commitment with Allah. And they established the prayer, "Indeed, we will not allow to be lost the reward of the reformers." إِنَّا لَا نُضِيعُ أَجْرَ الْمُصْلِحِينَ. Because these people are truly reformers. These people are rightly guided. Their work is islah. Whose? Those who adhere to the Book of Allah. This is why the Prophet ﷺ said that, "I am leaving amongst you two things. If you hold on to them, you'll never go astray. You will be rightly guided." And what are they? The Qur'an and the Sunnah. So the Qur'an, a person must hold on to it. Never leave it. And mention when we raised the mountain above them, as if it was a dark cloud, and they were certain that it would fall upon them. And Allah said, "Take what we have given you with determination, and remember what is in it, that you might fear Allah." If a person wants taqwa, if a person wants to be saved from evil, from the fire, then what is it that he has to do? He should hold on to the Qur'an and Sunnah. And mention when your Lord took from the children of Adam, from their loins, their descendants, and made them testify of themselves, saying to them, "Alastu bi rabbikum? Am I not your Lord?" They said, "Yes, bala, shahidna, we have testified." This, lest you should say on the day of resurrection, "Indeed, we were of this unaware." Here the Ahd al-Ast is mentioned. That we have all made a covenant with Allah. That when Allah created Adam, then in hadith we learn that all of the children of Adam were brought out and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asked them, "Alastu bi rabbikum? Am I not your Lord?" And all of the children of Adam, they said, "Bala, yes, you are our Lord. We believe in you. We recognize you. We know you." Allah says this promise was made, why? So that later, you don't say that we were unaware that you created us. We were unaware that you even existed. Or lest you say, it was only that our forefathers associated in worship with Allah before, and we were but descendants after them. Then would you destroy us for what the falsifiers have done? So basically what this shows is that on the Day of Judgment, no person can make an excuse that, "Oh Allah, I never knew you existed. I never knew I was supposed to worship you." No. Allah told us before He sent us to this world about Himself. Allah put in us the thirst to seek Him. Then He sent prophets and guidance. So on the Day of Judgment, nobody can make an excuse that, "Oh Allah, I did not know." And thus do we explain in detail the verses. And perhaps they will return.